The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we are in Roman numeral 12, I think. So let's take the usual time to recognize that as believers in Jesus Christ, who make a profession of positive volition, we still have the issue of keeping ourselves in fellowship in circumstances and in Bible class in particular, and not let our mental attitude drift off or get upset over something that is not going to matter in the end. What matters is that you are here to be spiritually renewed, refreshed, encouraged, and oriented to this great plan that we're privileged to be a part of and what we're just about ready to step into. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to assemble ourselves together as one body in Christ in these last days, and for everything you provide us with individually and collectively, so that we can maintain a place for the intake of Bible doctrine and have an outreach to those who may have an interest. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I was reviewing some of the issues with regard to the United States and prophecy out of Jeremiah. And I'm convinced that the statement that Paul makes in Thessalonians with regard to the peace and safety issue, I will completely scratch from my notes that there is going to be an unprecedented peace movement in the last days. There is not one of any substance. There's been a lot of talk about it, but it's all talk for the most part, since wars and rumors of wars are ramped up as we come to the end. We hear about it all the time. If we hear any of this about warfare, and so the statement that sudden destruction will come upon them, like the birth pains of a woman with child, and they will not escape. Now, obviously, no normal woman at an advanced state of her pregnancy would deny that she's pregnant and say that she's not going to have any birth pains or discomfort. That would be ridiculous. So, but that's what is going to happen, I believe, with regard to Americans who do not take heed and make the exit out of Babylon in a timely fashion. I'm talking about those after the rapture. We're out of here the easy way. But they'll have to relocate to be in the will of God and to avoid dying horribly or suddenly in a nuclear holocaust. And for those who stay around, again, it never ceases to amaze the ability some people have to reject clear evidence set in front of them on a whole range of topics related to the Word of God. It's amazing. Even for those who believe the Bible is the Word of God and can be understood, there is this thing in humans, in their nature, that they will stubbornly dig in their heels, refuse to acclimate. And this is, again, in the wake of, in this case here, this is in the wake of the rapture. By itself, that ought to get everybody's attention. Three major worldwide announcements to every human being for the directive will of God, the gospel. Get out of this country and don't take the mark of the beast. And then all other factors that will be hitting the ground. The two witnesses in Israel, Moses and Elijah. Just think about that. They're going to come back and be fully equipped to evangelize the Jewish people. That's their target audience. They will get a worldwide attention, not one the world wants. And, of course, the rise of the Antichrist. Now, all those things put together, and whatever else, ought to get people's attention. And it will get the attention of some people. Again, it boils down to, you're positive or you're not. You're a seeker or you're not. You have a desire to do God's will or not. So, in our look at Jeremiah 50 and following, these two big chapters that contribute to the topic of the latter day Babylon, everything in here is in code. I say everything. Basically, everything in here is code. Because any normal person knows that has any historical background, the Babylon of Jeremiah's day, and he was intimately connected with it. He was the prophet on the ground in Israel, telling the Jews the most unpopular lesson that the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar's coming. And he's going to take the nation down. You can imagine the name calling and the things that Jeremiah the prophet had. God schooled him ahead of time. He told him, they're going to oppose you, your people, with this message, but you make your forehead like flint. You don't give in to any of their attacks against you. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar learned about Jeremiah. He heard about this prophet in Israel, all the way over in Babylon. He heard about this prophet, Jeremiah, who was telling his own people this unpopular message that the Babylonians are coming. They're going to uproot you and take you to Babylon, destroy your temple, loot it, Solomon's temple, etc., etc. And after it happened, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't take Jeremiah off into captivity. He gave him a retirement stipend. He did. God takes care of his servants. Okay. Jeremiah 50, some of the things we were making mention of. It is known that nothing of this kind even remotely happened to Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't alive then. It was the final king of Babylon mentioned in the book of Daniel, who was a real mess of a person. So Babylon was not destroyed by a fiery holocaust, etc., etc. God embeds this for a latter day nation. And as you go through it, it begins to make more and more sense. So we're relating this to the United States and prophecy. as we have throughout our history here at Maranatha Church. Again, not a popular message, but a subject that's a part of the Word of God and needs to be taught, but isn't being taught, probably, in the overwhelming majority of Bible-believing evangelical churches. Imagine touching this topic. Imagine trying to break this down and teach it. People that are all on board with the rapture and the coming of Christ, but this doctrine, they won't touch. Unless I'm wrong and it's hidden from me out there. They're not teaching it. And that is a big piece of the puzzle related to the outworking of the last days. Don't ever say to yourself, how's this help my Christian life? All scripture is profitable for spiritual maturity and acclimation of the Word of God. And it is especially important to believers living at the dead end of the church age, which we are. So in Jeremiah, and this will, these are big long chapters, dealing with this topic. So apparently God thought it was important enough to put this much space to it. And I'm just dealing with right here with the Jeremiah section. We dealt with Isaiah 13. It's another chapter contributes. Isaiah 21 is another chapter sorting these out. And Jeremiah's 50 and 51. I just will make cursory comments as we go through this. So turn to chapter 50 of Jeremiah if you're not there already. Prophets received incremental information, direct revelation from God to them. We don't have that anymore because we have the Bible, the completed canon of Scripture. So these things came incrementally to any given prophet that God called, and in this case, those prophets who wrote down what was revealed to them. The major prophets, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, those are big books. And then the minor prophets. The word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. Again, your code for Chaldeans is Anglo-Saxons. Through Jeremiah the prophet. Declare and proclaim among the nations. Proclaim it and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon, that's the USA, America, has been captured. Bel has been put to shame. Now, when I go through this, I won't necessarily break the code on every statement. That's just a part of spiritual growth. You'd have to study the deities of Babylon and then equate it to something in the United States accurately. We obviously do not worship these deities. But Bel and Marduk, it's not a cartoon character. Bel has been put to shame. Marduk has been shattered. Her images have been put to shame. Her idols have been shattered. Now, the idols of America are different, although there are idolaters in the strict sense, religious idolaters in our country that worship images and whatever. So, but the images of Babylon, or the idols of Babylon, are our love affair with the material side of things. That's primary and at the top of the list. There are other things people are wrapped up in. And you could add and money generally and all the things that it does for people. Her idols have been shattered. This is the destruction of the vast amount of wealth that is in this country. I don't mean in banks. I mean in homes. I mean in places where people have collected all of this. One fellow has a 300-car garage with all these special automobiles kept just prime. Jay Leno. 300 of them, has a full-time guy to take care of them, keep them spotless. So this is just one example of the amount of wealth that is found in all the homes and places in this country. It's unbelievable. More on that. For a nation has come up, we go back to narrative, the verse 2 is poetically set up. And we go back to narrative. For a nation has come up against her out of the north, it will make her land an object of horror. To who? Everybody looking on the outside. Not an object of praise as we once were. We once were the praise of the whole earth. America, in its heyday. That's changed. We'll make her land an object of horror. And there will be no inhabitant in it. So it has to have that quality. When the proverbial dust settles, there will be no inhabitant, no human inhabitant in it. Nobody hiding in a cave, wherever, in the backwoods, whatever you want to call it. Nobody. This will be a total 100% a wipeout when it's all said and done. Then we go, both man and beast have wandered off. Animals will exit too. I don't know which ones and to what degree. Who could know that? But a bunch of animals are going to be... Animals have a survival instinct too. So beast and man and beast, animal, these are wild animals presumably, beasts, have wandered off. They've gone away. That's the exit out of America prior to the nukes coming in. Because once they come in, there's no getting out of here. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come. Let's focus our attention on the Jews. Come from where? Where their greatest population of them are on earth. You can go get the statistics of the amount of Jews living in Israel and the rest of the nations. From a very tiny group, maybe in some instance, to this country. It's at the top. We're number one in having Jewish population in our country. Sons of Abraham. Descendants of Abraham. They will come. They and the sons of Judah as well. That would dividing the kingdom up into the southern and the northern. They will go along weeping as they go, because they will have this major awakening. We know who the Messiah is now. It all comes together for us. And our ancestors and through our lives, we rejected him. Now we know who he is. It's clear as a bell. They become Christian or believing Jews. And it will be the Lord their God they will seek. They will go back to Israel. Mass exodus out of here. They will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in its direction. Obviously, they got to make some kind of arrangements to get out of a place and go as far away as Israel. They will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. We go back to poetry. My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. Right up to the present day. Whoever's the leaders of Israel, they've led them astray. Insofar as their spiritual lives. That's primary and first. Oh, they function and keep the nation going and have a military and an economy and all the rest of it, but they have led the people astray. The top leaders. And they'll continue to do this all into the tribulation when the last despicable ones will make a pact with the Antichrist rather than turning to the Lord in these very perilous times. That's what you do in times of difficulty. You turn to the Lord. You turn to God 100% and put your case and concerns before him and let him work it out. And all the promises related thereto. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from mountain to hill. This is the Jewish dispersion among the nations. Perfect. At the time of Jeremiah, the northern kingdom was already out there. The so-called 10 lost tribes. They were already out there due to the Assyrian event. They've gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. Typically, a Jewish person is not connected until they're connected to the land. Now, the exception to that, of course, is church age believers. They're Jewish believers of the church age. That's not an issue with them. That's been off the table. They're a part of the body of Christ, and they're related to that. All who came upon them have devoured them. They've been beat up in these nations. They've been persecuted in different nations at different times. There's a history of the persecution of Jews among the nations. It's ongoing as I speak. I believe the place is Pakistan. And I read a recent notation on that, said that they were under the gun there, houses attacked, people attacked, and the Jewish comment was, we're not where we need to be. We need to get back to Israel. So these things, these persecutions, eventually have worked. See, that was the whole thing about the Jews setting up another nation. They were working at it before then, but the timing with regard to God was off. But they kept just saying, we don't fit in. And we need to get back to that land. See, that's in their genes, if you will. That's in their genetics. I read of a successful fellow, had a family, fairly young guy, back in the day, living in California, doing well. He just said, something's missing. And he packed everybody up and went back to Israel. Brenda and I ran into one. She was our waitress. As we were dining on the Sea of Galilee at the southern tip of it in a restaurant that we went into, and we're out in the open air, and she spoke perfectly good American. She said she just up and sold her clothing dress shop in Colorado and moved into a kibbutz in Israel, because that's one thing they have. If you go there, they have these little communities. There was one there that raised, I think it was, turkeys. This raised turkeys. And people live there, and then they can go out from there and have other jobs, but they all lived in this commune, the kibbutz. That was a way of bringing Jews in and giving them a place to live that made sense. And their adversaries have said, we're not guilty. This would have to be Christians, wouldn't it? This wouldn't be the average person. These are Christians that justified the persecution of Jews based on the fact of what they did to Jesus. Therefore, they're a legitimate target of persecution. Oh. You have to go study history and find out examples of this. We're not guilty, inasmuch we, Gentiles, we're not guilty, inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. These are some people with some doctrine, but have justified persecution of the Jews. Now, you'd have to go into the records to find out who and what theologians and ministers and people, denominations, whatever, advocated that. It was okay. The Jews are a legitimate target for persecution because of what they did to the Lord. No, if God wants to hammer somebody, that's his business. Now, we're not talking about Jews that live in a country and commit criminal acts. They ought to be treated like anyone else, obviously. And God isn't, you don't just let them run amok. For behold, I'm going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. At the time of Jeremiah, Russia wasn't like this unified entity. There were these different groups within this whole area that winds up being Russia. And they will draw up their battle lines against her. From there, she will be taken captive. From that far country, she will be taken captive. How is that possible? All through history, nations, if they're going to overthrow another nation, have to invade that nation. As we invaded Germany in World War II. Technology. This is another key to the timing of the rapture. That is our subject, by the way. The rapture. It's another key. A type of technology had to be in place that was far removed from anything that those experienced during the time that the Bible was put together, written, all the way through the book of Revelation and beyond. The technologies weren't there. They had technology. You know, they weren't like what they call Stone Age, whatever that means. It means nothing to me, but I'll use it. The real backward. There are peoples that are pretty backward and are unsophisticated technologically. But that has nothing to do with that stupid science and history that they've ginned up out of it. So anyway, I skipped a verse. I skipped 8. Not because I don't like it, it's just I skipped it. Wander away from the midst of Babylon, go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. That is the announcement to every American after the rapture. Get out of here. Pack your things. Pack light. You're not going to need a bunch of this stuff. You're in the tribulation. Life isn't normal anymore, whatever that is. Well, I'm glad I don't have to do that one. And go forth from the land of the Chaldeans, Anglo-Saxons. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. There's going to be individuals that will rise up and organize this and help people. And I have a special gift for that. If not, financial resources that they're going to put out there so people can get out of here. So you don't have to go get a passport and get a vaccination or whatever the hell they're doing then. Things are going to fall apart. They're not going to be able to prevent people from exiting America. God doesn't tell people to do something they can't do and hold them accountable. He makes a way. We just have to be there to see it. We'll view the whole scene as it is reported to us when we're in heaven after the rapture. So, and they will draw up battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea will become plunder. All who plunder her will have enough, declares the Lord. They're going to be satisfied. This is unconventional plunder. Do you know another example in the Bible of unconventional plunder? I'll bet you do. It has to do with the Egyptians at the time of Moses in the Exodus, where the Egyptians were just turning their wealth over to these Jews and loading them up with it'd be like the richest people in the world just coming to you, just get out of here, 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 here. And that's why the Jews had all that ability to do these things about in a wilderness. Build a tabernacle that of like gold and silver and bronze and wood and fabric. Of course, they had Jews who were technical at making stuff. Excuse me. Because you are glad, this is another element in it, because you are jubilant, O you who pillage my heritage, because you skip about like a threshing heifer and neigh like stallions. What has this got to do with it? I don't know exactly. Other than America, excuse me, I'm supposed to put that, I don't know whether I do that. Somebody about jumped out of their chair out there in the foyer one time. I just have this problem in the mornings. Anyway, Israel has suffered as a result of America meddling in their affairs. Not that Jews don't meddle in other people's affairs. They do. But this is citing this particular thing, as I see it. Your mother will be greatly ashamed, that's Great Britain. She who gave birth will be humiliated. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Can you imagine that being the example from coast to coast in a country this size? Because of the indignation of the Lord, she will not be inhabited, but she'll be completely desolate. As I've told you before, the judgment on America is so severe that it's not just the judgment that eliminates everybody. It is a judgment on the very land itself, which says no humans can occupy this land for any purposes whatsoever. Not even just to look around. So all the resources that are still there, you know, and this is in the millennium too. Get over to the millennium when the Lord will clean up the earth. He's got to do a bunch of cleanup work and refixing stuff. That's in the prophecies. You can't have all this pollution and nuclear pollution will be added to it on a scale never before imagined. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified. They'll shudder. Or they'll mock. There are people out here hate us. And will hiss because of all her wounds. So this is an act of derision. Back to the subject. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on every side, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her. Do not be sparing with your arrows. In other words, empty your nuclear arsenal, whether it's on subs, on land, or what have you. For she has sinned against the Lord. Raise your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. In other words, that doesn't have to do with walls and houses and big buildings. It has to do with the military side of things. In ancient times, a city fell when they breached its walls. Okay? For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. As she has done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon. We've had quite a big farming history in this country. We produced a lot of, and still do, produce a lot of harvest, a lot of crops. The sower, the farmer, and the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest. From before the sword of the Lord, they will each turn back to his own people. There's your theme again. They will turn back to their own people. We're Germans. Let's go to Germany. Whatever. That'll be the thing. And they will each flee to his own land. And we're back to narrative. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria. And the last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Southern kingdom. In the day of Jeremiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of the armies and the God of Israel, behold, I am going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring back Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none. And for the sons of Judah, but they will not be found, for I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Okay. Against the land of, I had this written down, I forgot what it was. It's something backwards. It's a word backwards. Everyone says, what's this? You flip the letters around, I think you can figure, Merthaim, and of course the idea being that Babylon has got everything upside down, inside out, and calling up, down, and as we have going on today. And against the inhabitants of Pekod, slay and utterly destroy them, declares the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land, and great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken. That's American military technology. Hammer of the earth. You read things. Cluster bombs. The hammer of the whole earth through our history, and particularly in modern times, with the annihilation of two Japanese cities with atomic bomb. Each one. How the hammer of the earth has been broken, and Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. I set a trap for you. I think we're watching it unfold right now with Russia and Ukraine. I'm setting a trap. I don't know who the three ribs are in the prophecy in Daniel that deals with these end time nations. I know who the lion is that stands up on its hind feet. The lion that has eagle's wings stuck on it, and the wings are pulled up. I know who that is. What's the symbol of our country? Animal kingdom, of course, the eagle. So those wings are pulled up. This lion stands on its hind feet. Typical, you see, in the British coat of arms and various things, the lion, there's no lions native to Israel, to Britain, and he's standing on his hind feet. And it says that a man's heart's given to him. That looks like a positive to me, and that is my key. So I know who that, I know who those two entities are. I know who the bear is that rises up on one side. What's the animal as a symbol for Russia? The bear. I don't know what rising up on one side signifies, and I don't know who the three ribs are in his mouth that are telling him to get up and destroy much flesh. I know who the leopard is with the two sets of wings. That's the Asian headed by China because of the population and so forth. That's the Asian component of the last days. You can read that in chapter 9, I believe it is. All right. So this is the hammer of the earth, object of horror among the nations. Set a snare for you. While you were not aware, you've been found and also seized because you've engaged in conflict with the Lord. America has engaged in conflict with the Lord. Open conflict. Look what we're promoting, advocating as a so-called Christian nation. You know, like some nations, that's a Muslim nation. It's a Christian nation. These are Buddhists, whatever. We are a Christian nation, we say. Our founding principles were based on the Christian aspect. Okay? Well, we've engaged in conflict with the Lord. And it never works for people. But they don't get it, do they? The Lord has opened His armory. All the weapons on earth at any given time are the Lord's armory. Armories are where they stored swords and shields and stuff and then dispersed them to their soldiers when they went off to battle. It's called an armory. The Lord has opened his armor and brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for it is the work of the Lord, of the God of the armies, in the land of the Chaldeans. Come to her from the farthest border. There you are again. Russia qualifies on this. That's the northern horizons. Farthest north. Open up her barns. What do you think that is in the code? It's all these big stores. Sam's, Lowe's, etc. Walmart, all of them. All the big Amazon facilities where they distribute this stuff. Open up her barns, shopping centers. Pile her up like heaps and utterly destroy her. Let nothing be left to her. This stuff's all going to go up, obviously. Now I got another one for you. Put all her young bulls to the sword. So you got two things here. They're males, and they're young, and they're strong. Who do you think that might be? You say, well, it could be military. No. It's professional athletes, like football players. Young bulls. We even have a team called the Bulls. It's basketball. Put all her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe be upon them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. Having great physical attributes will do you no good. Not in this. There is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. I don't understand that part exactly. What does the temple of Israel have to do with an indictment against the United States? I haven't, in all the years I've studied, I haven't wrapped my head around that one. But that's okay. I don't have to have every detail before I teach it perfectly lined up, but we'd never teach it. Some things you just have to wait. Summon many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow. Encamp against her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all that she has done. So do to her. Payback time for American foreign policy. Primarily. For she has become arrogant against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Arrogance is rampant today. We can do that. Therefore, her young men will fall in the streets. All these kids running around out here. They'll fall in the streets. And all our men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. They're saying they're having trouble getting young men in the military today because they're so grossly out of shape. Behold, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord of the armies, for your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The arrogant one will stumble and fall. Well, there's plenty of arrogant type people running around. You see it in individuals. Pride of possessions, pride of this, with no one to raise him up. And I will set fire to his cities. One of the things that's noteworthy, other countries have cities, plural, clearly. But the thing about America is it has this network of cities from the East Coast, West Coast, you can start naming them. All the way across. I saw a thing where it named five American cities where the murder rate is off the charts. If it was normal like some of the other cities, we would be like, this article said, take it for what it's worth, we'd be like 100 and something in the level. But as it is, we're in the top five. Cities where the murder rate is through the roof. Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., St. Louis. I didn't even name one on the West Coast, did I? They're too busy doing drugs. They're too busy laying out on the streets doing fentanyl. No kidding. You see some of these pictures? Look at L.A. Once beautiful, clean city with well-dressed people and blah, 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 blah. It is sick. And San Francisco and Portland and all them. So they didn't mention them. All her cities. Houston, Dallas, Denver, Miami. I know I've left out some, but these are all her cities. Set them all on fire. Light them up. And I will set fire to his cities, and it will devour all his environs. Environ means the areas out around, the more rural or suburbia, and on, out, out, out. Thus says the Lord of the armies, the sons of Israel are oppressed. See, you notice how this goes back? And the sons of Judah as well, and all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of the armies is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth. That's the millennium. The millennium. But turmoil to the citizens of Babylon. The last generation of Americans occupy this land. A sword against the Chaldeans, declares the Lord, and against the citizens of Babylon, and against her officials and her wise men. I don't think they're so smart now, but okay. Her wise men. People in leadership positions. Politicians up there. And others. A sword against the oracle priests. That's the religious clergy of unbelievers. And they will become fools. A sword against her mighty men, and they'll be shattered. That's military, I suspect. A sword against their horses and against their chariots. Well, that's our transportation system. Horses probably are trucks, bigger animal. And chariots, that's what you got here to Bible class in. You went out and stuck a key in there and started up your chariot and got here. There's your code. Some of it's really easy to break. As I said, I have questions with some of the things, but okay. Not losing any sleep over it. Just offer up a prayer and move on. And against all the foreigners who are in her midst. Oh, do we have any foreigners in our midst? Can you help me with that one? Do we have any people here that are foreigners from another place? Non-citizens? Yeah, they're pouring across the border, and we're encouraging it. They need to turn and go back. All the foreigners in her midst. See how precise the prophecy is? And they will become women. What women tend to do in crises is go hysterical. They're wired different. No offense. They tend to freak out easier. It's the feminine nature. It's okay. There are exceptions, but the rule is. And they will become women. A sword against her treasures, and they will be plundered. All that stuff I got in my house over there. Well, somebody may break in and take it, but a lot of good it's going to do them. What are they going to do with it? You know, it's kind of like a joke. Oh, they're happy right now. Then boom, about 2 or 3 years after when the rapture occurs and all these vacant homes and everything, there'll be so much plundering it won't be crazy. There's plundering already going on in these cities. Philadelphia. And they get them all cranked up on the social media stuff and encourage these young people to just break into these. It's not about we're hungry and we need food. It's about breaking into liquor stores and hauling everything out and leaving it just trashed. I saw these pictures online of this. And this one woman that was stirring up all these teenagers to walk in there and do this. We have no real answer for it. Oh, they arrested 30 of them and booked them and all that. If a real decent society and leaders took over, you know what they'd do? They shoot them deader in hell on the street. You wouldn't see them coming back. It'd be all over. You have to fight fire with fire. You don't have time to arrest everybody, put them in a deal, and take them off somewhere. Those times are over. But they're not going to do anything. They're going to continue to let this happen. It emboldens the criminal and the loser type. Because we've not instilled these standards in people. All right, let's take our break.